Okay, good evening to everyone. It's good to meet with you on another day that the Lord has made. God has been with us all the day long. And for that, we are glad. We could not make it without the Lord. I couldn't make it without the Lord. And I'm sure I'm among many witnesses that would say that you could not make it without the Lord as well. We have needed him all of our lives, even though some of us may not have been aware that we needed God all of our lives. But most of us, if not all of us, know that we need the Lord. So we're glad to know God as our Lord, Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit as our guide. My name is Sister Velma Jean Sanders. I am the teacher of the Contemporary Bible class, and we are currently studying through the Gospel according to Luke. We started at chapter 1. We started at chapter 1 of Luke, and we are now in Luke chapter 17. And our passage of study this evening, even though we will be going to quite a few scriptures, our main passage of study is Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 4. And we may read verses 1 through 6. But our main passage of study for tonight is verses 1 through 4. We do have several readers, some of you that I have asked to be readers as we study through Luke chapter 17. And this evening, the readers have been assigned for the entire chapter, but we will not cover the entire chapter this evening. But tonight, it is my goal for us to read Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 6. But our study will be primarily from verses 1 through 4. So Sister Patricia is our reader for this evening. I welcome everyone who has just joined us, and others will be joining us when they can. So we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. I hope you have your Bible. You always need a Bible in Bible class. I've been to Bible studies where they never open the Bible. That's a sad thing. You should always be able have to use a Bible in Bible study. And that's what we do. We will be using our Bibles. It is as you use the Bible. When I say use, I mean studying the Word of God. That's one way to learn the books of the Bible is continually to read it. And you get more familiar with the chapters and the location, the verses. You become more familiar with it as you read. And so we're concentrating tonight on verses 1 through 6. Let's go to God in prayer, and then we're going to go ahead and continue in our study. And I will be asking Sister Patricia to be ready to read when I call on her. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our Lord, giving you glory and honor on this another day. Thank you for being with us all the day long. We could not have made it without you. We give glory to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We call on you, Spirit of the living God, to be our teacher, the Paraclete, one called alongside to help us. The one that Jesus said, I'll send you another. I'll send you a comforter. I'll send you a teacher. I'll send you one who will open to you the word of life and the word of truth. And so we call on the Spirit of the living God. You are our teacher. I'm merely a vessel, Lord God, and I'm an imperfect vessel at that. But I yield myself to you, and we yield ourselves to you. And we ask you, Lord, to teach us. The teacher needs teaching, and the student needs teaching, and the preacher needs teaching, and the choir members need teaching. Teaching is foundational. The word of God is foundational in our growth. And we say thank you and give glory to your name. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. We thank you, Lord God. That rock is a big rock. Jesus Christ, our Lord, founded upon truth. We thank you, Lord. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. We ask you now to lead us in truth. We'll be careful to give your name the praise forever. We also pray for the absent part of us, those who wanted to be here this evening and could not be with us for whatever the reason. We remember them in prayer. We ask you to forgive us all of our sins, shortcomings, and weaknesses, Lord. Strengthen us where we're weak. Build us up where we're torn down. We ask you to fill us with oil, Lord. Spirit of the living God, fill our vessels. Help us to live to the glory of God. And when it's time for us to leave this earth, we'll live and we die all to the glory of God. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good evening to those who have joined us. We're going to go ahead into our study from Luke chapter 17. Sister Patricia will be reading for us our verses 1 through 6. Let me just mention the readers for upcoming verses. So you can be reading on those verses. And I encourage you not only to just read them, but study them, become familiar with them as we go forward. Sister Patricia will be reading this evening verses 1 through 6. Next week, Sister Ann Christian, verses 7 through 10. The week following, Sister Catherine Murphy, verses 11 through 19. The week following that, Sister Sharon Young, verses 20 through 25. The following week, Lord willing, for all of this, Lord willing, Luke chapter 17, verses 26 through 31, and our closing verses in Luke chapter 17 will come from verses 32 through 37, and that will be Brother Deacon Wendell Young. So I think I called everyone by name. It may be a while before we get to your verses, but Lord willing, we will eventually get to the verses that you're assigned to. So as you all know, I think most of you know, but everyone may not know, we read from the New King James Version of the Bible. That's what I teach from in classroom for the classroom purposes, even though I have many other versions of the Bible for classroom purposes. So we'll be in uniformity. We read from the New King James Version. If you happen not to have that version, that's fine. Use whatever version that you have. Okay, let's go into our reading. And Sister Patricia, if you're ready, if you would kindly read for us verses 1 through 6.
Okay. Then he said to the disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you, saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." And the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." So the Lord said, "If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea,' and it will obey you."
Amen. Thank you. That is our reading. We bless the word of the Lord. Now this evening, this is our second week in Luke chapter 17, these verses that we just read. I like to review, everyone knows that who's been with me with any while. We need review. As you know, many times in God's word, God says the same thing to us, his children, many times. He says from the Old Testament all the way throughout the New Testament, "Trust me." And I don't know how many times that is in the Bible. Those two words, both of those words are one syllable words, but both of those words carry more than we can weigh. More than any scale can weigh are those two words where God says, "Trust me." He says it from the Old Testament to the New Testament all throughout. And so God's word letting us know that we need to trust him. Now, the reason I said what I just said is I'm reviewing. And we need review because God says it again and again and again. And if the Lord has to say things to us again and again and again, and you know how many times has God had to tell you and to tell me again and again and again. He has had to tell all of us many times, trust me. And he says that, I'm sure, as we went through last week and as we go into this week that we are now in, that there would be times this week that we will hear the Lord say, trust me. And so we're going to review as the Lord says things over and over again. So I'm going to review, even though we haven't been in this chapter that long. Well, let's start out. I like to do little by little. And most of you know what I mean by that, but everyone does not. God gives us the word. What is the food that is on our spiritual plate? Well, the food that is on our spiritual plate, and our spiritual plate is the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, not physical bread alone. We need physical bread for the body, but man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, there's that spiritual word, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so we see in Luke chapter 17, as we go on, and I'm going to be going through it little by little, even though you will hear some of the same things that you've heard before, God's word is never stale. God does not have any stale bread. There is nothing stale about God. Everything about God, his word is ever fresh. He is ever living. He is the living God, living water, living fountains flow from God. And even when you get to the last chapter of the Bible, there will be those waters that will be flowing from the throne of God. Well, let's look at Luke chapter 17. As we proceed in our study, some will be reviewed, some will be new to us. In Luke chapter 17, the chapter opens. Jesus now is speaking to his disciples. As we have found out, if you have red letter Bible, your red letter Bibles in chapter 17, verse 1, we see is in black print. Well, we know the black print, and I say this, some people know this, but others are learning. We have people in all stages in the family of God. So everyone may not know, and I don't want to assume. In Luke chapter 17, verse 1, we see it starts out with black letter. Why is it the black letter versus the red letter? Well, the black letter would be there, the narrator. The narrator, who is the narrator? Who is telling the story? Is Luke the one telling the story? Well, yes, Luke is the vessel that God has used that wrote it down. So Luke is that human vessel that God used to tell the story. Luke's the narrator. And so Luke goes on, but then it goes to red letter. And red letter, we know, are the words of Jesus Christ, our Lord. So Jesus is the one that is speaking. He is speaking to his disciples. And so now we need to know, well, disciples, he's speaking to his disciples. His disciples versus who? He's talking to his disciples versus talking to non-disciples, non-followers, those who are not following the Lord Jesus, not even seeking to follow him. And so this is to his disciples. He's not talking at this point to those who oppose him, to the Pharisees, even though they're in hearing distance, within earshot, they could hear, but this is instruction to his disciples. He starts out, now when we look at Luke chapter 17, it is a word of instruction. It is a word of instruction. But it's also a word of, And I want us to turn to to 2 Timothy. Let's go to 2 Timothy. And as I said, we'll be going to many chapters and many verses tonight. But let's look at 2 Timothy. And let me get the chapter. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And this is a good foundational scripture for the entire Bible. It's a good scripture to commit to memory. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It starts with a word that I like. It's a big word. It's one of those one-syllable words, but it carries a lot of weight. Don't let those one-syllable words fool you. It starts out with all, A-double-L. And there is nothing. I heard Reverend Wade would tell us there is nothing on the other side of all. And so this verse starts out, and it's a word. This is going to be a verse that has a lot of definition in it. I mean, actually, the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation is in these two verses. In compact form, you find in these two verses alone, and they're in other verses, but in these two verses, the entire word of God. Well, how can I say it's the entire word of God? Because it says right here in verse 16, all scripture, all. So that's from Genesis to Revelation. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Did you all hear that? And so you know from Genesis to Revelation, all scripture, how did we get it? How did we get the word of God? Well, it was inspired. It is divinely inspired. God breathed it. You know, when God breathed into man the breath of life, his word is God breathed. And so this word is the living word of God. Nothing dead, nothing stale, nothing old about it. The word of God is ever fresh and ever living because it has within it the very life of God, the very breath of God. And as you know, you've heard me say this. Some of you have heard me say this. When we talk, well, God has made man. And we're made in, you know, we have three parts God has given to man, spirit, soul, and body. But even as we're here today, right now in class, all of us right now are breathing. We have that breath. That's one of our that God has faculties that God has given to us as his creatures, as his living creatures. We breathe. But as we breathe, we see in 2 Timothy here, chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is inspired. It is God breathe. It is God breathe. And so as I'm speaking, what is coming out of my, what is coming forth from me? Well, even as I'm speaking, I am doing what? It is breath coming forth. Breath is coming forth. And breath is coming forth from me, along with, inspired by, the word of God. And so there's power in the preached word, there's power in the taught word, there's power in the written word of God. All scripture, it is given, it's a gift of God to man, is given by inspiration. Inspiration has within it life. Life. If something's dead, it doesn't have the life of God in it. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now that's where the source of it is, came from God. And is profitable. Now the Lord is adding on, commenting on his own word. And he says his word is profitable. Well, what mathematical sign would we use for that? We would say that's adding. That's adding. God is adding. He says it is profitable. It's not subtracting in this. His word will benefit you. It will benefit all of us. His word is profitable. For what? What will it give me? What will it accomplish in me? It is profitable for, and now he gives us a list here. It is profitable for doctrine. And one thing we need, and it's lacking a lot now in this church age that we live in, but we need foundational teaching. We need the foundation laid good and sound and true. The foundations of the Christian faith, what we believe as Christians. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It'll do you good. God is doing us good through his word by being in Bible study tonight. We're profiting, and it is profitable for doctrine. We're learning. We're being taught, but we're learning those foundational things. But we're also learning for reproof. And then it goes on to say for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So God's word is manifold, many faceted. We could all sit at the same word of God, the same Bible study, and all of us, the word of God would be profitable to each one of us. It is profitable for us. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Well, we've been in the word of God and we have learned that God's word is living. It is alive. We know that God's word is profitable. It has done us well, and we need his word. We know that God's word is for reproof. God will tell you when you're wrong. He'll let you know when you're not doing things that he wants us to do. And then he will correct us and tell us what we need to do to be corrected. He just doesn't say wrong, wrong, wrong. He says, now this is what you need to do to be in line with me, in line with my word, in line with my spirit. So he reproves us, but he also corrects us. So that's that two-edged sword going both ways, reproving us and then correcting us for instruction, instruction, instruction. That's what we're doing tonight in his word. One aspect of Bible study is for instruction. Well, what is the end goal? What is God seeking to accomplish? What's the end goal? You know, God always has a quote end goal. And the end goal, and it's by that little word that lets you know that's the goal. That's what we're aiming for. That's what we're seeking to accomplish. That the man of God. Now that doesn't mean male men. It means those who are born again, born by the Spirit of God. That the man of God, whether it be woman, a woman, man, a child, an adult, born again, Christians that have the very life of God in them, that the man of God may be complete. You see that? That's the end goal, that we might be complete. So God gives his word to perfect us, to form us. You know, in Genesis, and I got to keep moving because I got a long way to go to cover Luke 17. But in Genesis, when God created man, in creation, and we know God created the heavens and the earth. We know that. We've learned that. Most of us have. And God did it all in 6 days. He created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. And on the seventh day, God rested. And then that's the Sabbath day. On the Sabbath, he rested. So we see day number one, day number two, day number three, four, five, and six. God was doing what? God was working, working, working. He kept on working until he received, quote, the end goal. And what was the end goal? When did he rest? He did not rest until what? And you have to think of what was that last thing that God created when he created man. And he got his own image. When God saw his own image in man, his very image. That's what God is after in us. He's working with us. He's molding us. He's instructing us. He's forming us. He has to rebuke us. He has to chastise us. He has to do all those things. Doing what? Purifying us and purging us. That he is after what? God is after what he did in Genesis, his image. That's what he's after. Seeing himself in us. And all that we go through in life, the trials, the different things we have to go through, all of it, the end goal, the end goal is God is after his image still. And so that's what 2 Timothy is telling us here in verse 3 and chapter 3, verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped. He wants us to be thoroughly equipped. He wants us to be, to quote, know our Bibles, get familiar with our Bibles, get to learn your Bible. Now, we'll never know the fullness of God's word. We don't even know the fullness of one verse. No one knows the fullness of one verse of God's word. But the portion that he has for us, we want to be complete. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped. That's why we're in Bible study, because we're being thoroughly equipped. Some people are just satisfied. And it's sad to say, even Christians, with just getting a little bit, a little dab a do, not wanting to be in Bible study. Well, our goal is that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped, equipped for every good work. That's the person, one of the person that God can use. So let's go back to Luke here. In Luke chapter 17, now we've already covered the entire Bible, just into those two verses. We have covered from Genesis to Revelation. But God has much, much more to say to us, the Bible commenting on itself. And so in Luke chapter 17, Jesus says to the disciples, now here comes a word of, it says, it is impossible that no offenses should come. All right, so let's look at that. And this is where I say we're cutting up our meat little by little. Or you could say we're breaking our bread in pieces so we can digest it and partake of it better. And so it says, it is impossible. Big word, impossible. It is impossible that no offenses should come. Well, that sounds pretty emphatic, doesn't it? It's letting us know, no doubt about it. You don't have to question this. It is impossible. Ain't no way around it. There will be offenses that come in life. You can't get around them. You will be hurt, even starting out from a child, even younger, probably as babies. And yes, even babies can be hurt. Offenses can come even against the youngest, and they come all throughout life in many forms and in many ways. Even the very birth of a person comes through tears and blood and sweat and all of that just to get into this earth, comes through all that pain and sweat and all of those things. So Jesus tells us here, tells his disciples, it's going to happen. You can count on it. It is impossible that you get through this life without any offenses coming. So what is Jesus doing? What kind of word is this? Because you know, in what we just read in 2 Timothy, the word of God is profitable for this and this and this and this and this. Well, what kind of word would you say is chapter 17, verse 1? Well, it's letting us know it's impossible that no offenses should come. So what's that word telling us? Well, it's letting us know, it's putting us on guard. It's instructing us. It is a word of instruction. Jesus is letting us know that there will be hurts and pains that happen in life. Brace yourself for them. You don't have to live in fear of them, but we've lived long enough to know, yes, they come, they will come, and before we leave this earth, there will be no more offenses that will come against us. And so he says, it is impossible that no offenses should come. But then he goes on now with another word. And he says in verse 17, but, now you know, but is turning the corner a little bit, but, you know, I'm telling you, offenses will come, but woe to him. Now that word woe, that's a quote, bad word. We don't want to be on the woe side. Because when you read this, woe to him through whom they do come. Well, what kind of word is that? Well, it's a word also of warning. It's put there to prevent us from doing what? To prevent us from and not wanting to be used to do what? Bring an offense to anyone. This word is warning us. You don't want to hurt people. You don't want to be on the side of hurting people. And if we do hurt someone, we want to be quick in asking for forgiveness. We don't want bitterness to crop up in our hearts or spring up in our hearts. And so this word is letting us know, yeah, you're going to go through life and there will be all these things. But so you don't fall into them or linger in them, God forbid, die in that state of mind, woe to him. Now that word woe to him, and I've talked about that word woe. It's one of those one syllable words, but it carries a lot of weight. It carries so much weight. And as I said on last week, that woe is one of them open words, because the O in O, woe goes on and on and on. That woe, when God pronounces a woe, it is a curse. It is a curse. It's like that word woe. It continues on and on and on. And so we're either on what? You're either going to end up ultimately on the blessing side or on the cursed side, ultimately. Now, throughout life, God has made it possible that we can be saved. Praise his holy name. He has made it possible that we can be forgiven. He's making it possible right now that we be instructed, so we don't keep doing things that does not please God and causes us to come short of his glory. So this word right here, what kind of word is it? Well, it's impossible that offenses should come, but woe. Woe to him. Bad word. You don't want to be on the woe side of God. You don't want to be on that side of God. Woe to him through whom. Now I'm telling you, they coming. These offenses are going to come. But woe to him through whom. Through whom. So that lets us know we don't want to be used. We don't want to be used by the devil. We don't want to be used. People will use you too. People will set you up to do wrong. Some people are evil enough. They not only want to plot wrong against you, but they want to use you to do their dirt. And so we need to be careful and on guard of things. So woe to him through whom they do come. So Jesus is letting us know, yeah, this is going to happen in life. But don't you be used. Don't let the devil use you or anybody else use you to bring harm to others. Now, I'm sure all throughout life, just as we travel on this Christian journey, on this journey of just common humanity, but especially on the Christian journey, that we have been used, quote, ignorantly, sometimes not so ignorantly, because you've heard people say, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to ask God to forgive me. Well, that's a bad thing to, that's, you don't want to do that. First of all, that's presumptuous sin. You don't sin with the intent of, I'm going to do this and then ask God to forgive me. You know, you don't play with God, and God is not to be played with like that. Woe to him, woe to him, through whom they do come. So we notice also in this verse, there's personal responsibility. Personal responsibility. It's woe to him through whom they come. So now people will try to use you. People have tried to use me, still trying to use me and you to do different things. We grow and we learn as we progress through life. But even as a child, someone will get you to say, to go pick on somebody, go tell on somebody, do this to someone, something for evil and something for harm. Woe to him through whom, that's the vehicle through which sin is coming. Because this passage now has to do, well, the entire passage here has to do with sin. I mean, that could be a title with this whole entire passage here. It's sin. It starts out talking about offenses. Then it talks about who they come through, the vehicle through which sin comes through. And then it's going to go on. So the scripture goes on right here in this verse. Woe to him through whom they do come, exclamation point. Now, God didn't have to put an exclamation point in his word, because all of his word stands. All of his words stand. But God is letting us know what the seriousness of this matter. It is that open O. It is that woe. It has eternal consequences, even eternal to the lake of fire. If you fall on this side of the wrong side of the blessings. Now, verse 17, Jesus is going to elaborate even more, comment even more, pressing it on down, bringing it on to home. He lets us know, I ain't playing. That's what he's saying. I'm not playing. I'm telling you all, it would be better. That's a comparative word. He's measuring now, scale, weighing out. It would be better. So that lets you know there's some weights here. Something is falling that's heavier than something else. It would be better. It would be better for him. And that's that personal responsibility again, where you can't say, well, so-and-so made me do it. No, there's personal responsibility. Even though so-and-so may have been used to tell you, go pull that chair out from under somebody. You know, that's what kids do. Or maybe some adults will do it too. There's some evil folks in this world, but used for evil. Verse 2, it would be better. That's the comparison. It would be better, the weight of it. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck. You all see the comparison? It's a bad thing when God already says woe to him, but then when he adds this measurement to it, he says it would be better for him if a millstone, and that's a heavy stone. I mean, it's heavy. I sent you all a video clip this past week. And on that video clip, it was a short video clip, and they used a dummy, a rubber a dummy, and that dummy came back to the surface in that water because it was a dummy that floated back to the surface. But not so with God. It says here, ain't gonna be no floating back to the surface with God. It would be better for him if a millstone. Now, you know that stone's going to go down. That stone is not going to float. won't be no floating. Nobody gonna be floating around in hell. It would be better if a millstone for him, if a millstone were hung, we don't want to be hung, period, hung around his neck. Now that's a great big weight. Hung around your neck. Now that's bad enough. This millstone hung around your neck. And then it's not over. You know, it's getting heavier and heavier. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck, personal, it's personal thing, and he were cast out, and he were thrown into the sea. Ain't gonna be no floating up. And he were thrown into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. So that lets us know, be careful, all of us, be careful how you treat people. Be careful that we don't want anyone to use us, and we learn through experience. I mean, we all kind of things happen in life, all kind of experiences, and we gain through experiences in life. Even as children of God, we've been tripped up. People have used us. We've used others for whatever purpose. And it starts out, like I said, from childhood. But scripture lets us know, you know, this scripture is profitable to let us know. You don't want to do this. You don't want to do this. You don't want to cause someone. You don't want to cause hurt to come to someone. You don't want to be used to bring an offense to anyone. And so verse 2, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck. And these scriptures, you do need to meditate on them. Picture them. Just picture things. And sometimes you might just get the heaviest thing you can get in your house that you can put around your neck and walk around with that for a while. You won't have it around your neck long. You know, I mean, that's the kind of thing, picturing these things. If a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, than that, that's a comparison, than that he should offend, hurt, come against, than that he should come against, cause an injury to one of these little ones. Well, who are those little ones? Well, like I said on last week, the little ones actually could be anyone. The little ones especially could be children. It could be innocents. It could be babies. It could be all of that. But it also could be some adults. Some adults are babies. They might be 40, 50, 60, 70 on up in age-wise, but they're babies. And there are baby Christians. And we don't want to offend them. And so we have to be careful how we treat the little ones. Verse 3, take heed. That's that warning light flashing. That's the danger sign. Danger, take heed, be careful. Watch your step. Watch where you're going. Watch your words. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you do. And you may say, well, he's talking to unbelievers. He's talking to them. He's talking to those who are not converted. Well, yes, but don't be so quick to say he's just talking to them. This word of God is profitable to all of us. And he tells all of us, he's telling all of us, take heed to yourselves. Personal responsibility. Take heed to yourselves. And now the Bible starts commenting on itself again. Take heed to yourself. And now further instruction. Now the corrections, further correction is going to begin. Take heed to yourselves. So that which direction? If you had signs, arrows, which way would the arrow be pointing? Well, you remember And this is the first illustration that comes to my mind. Can't think of another one right now. But I remember the scarecrow. And that scarecrow ended up with both arms twisted. They were both twisted this way and that way. And that's how this scripture is. It's going this way. It's going that way. In other words, take heed to yourself. Well, which direction? To what I just said. Well, what did he just say? He just said offenses are going to come. He just said, woe to him through whom they come. That should cause you to look to yourself. And he just said, it's going to be real bad if you don't get it straight. It would be better. So take heed to yourself. And so what direction is verse 3 looking in? It's looking inward. Look to your own heart. Velma, I'm talking to Velma too. Look to our own hearts. Take heed to yourself. Take heed to yourself. Now conditions. Here comes some conditions. If your brother, now the Bible now commenting again. Instruction. Now it's family. We're going to find these family words. There's other words that we saw in verse 17, verses 1 and 2, and they relate to people. And this passage is talking about dealing with people. When you go through life, you have to deal with people, and they have to deal with us. And we've got to learn how to get through life, living with others, treating others right, all these different things we have to do, forgiving one another, and all kind of things we have to do. So in verse 3, he says, take heed to yourself, pointing which way? Inward, yourself. But then it points outward, but it's still about us. And now others, take heed to yourself. That's about others, yourself. That's us, you personally. But then it starts pointing outward because we have to deal with other people in life. We got to get along with other people, whatever that may mean. We gotta get it right with personal relationships. With personal relationships. And those relationships may even be from a distance. Those relationships could even be someone who has passed, someone who has died, and we have not gotten it straight. So he says in verse 3, take heed to yourself. And now pointing inward, take heed to yourself. But then it points outward. Dealing with other people. And we got to learn how to do that. So now he's going to tell us what we're going to have to do as we go through life, how people will treat us and how we will be treated, how we will be treated in life by other people. Verse 3, take heed to yourselves. If your brother, now it points outward. First it was pointing inward. Take heed to your own heart. Take heed to your own words. Take heed to yourself. But then it points outward. We got to get along with other folks, whatever that get along may be. And I say that because getting along could be staying away from some people, you know, for various reasons, not holding anything in your heart against them, even though you may have a right to do that, but not holding anything in your heart against them. Because as Christians, we have to learn how to do that. So in verse 3, take heed to yourselves. If your brother, now springing in, who is the brother? Well, who is the brother? The brother is, this is in the family of God. Because he says, he's talking to his disciples. Now, that doesn't mean you can hold anything against someone and they're not in the family of God. That's not what it's saying. This is dealing with personal relationships in the family of God among believers. And we need this as believers. If your brother, those of us who are born again in the company of faith, if your brother, that's that relationship word, where we're born again, we all confess, we profess to be Christian and God's people. So our brother would be all of that group. If your brother, what does the brother do? The brother offends you. The brother sins against you. The brother did you wrong, or the sister did you wrong. That's those offenses will come. and they can come from fellow Christians. They can come and will come. We've all experienced them. If your brother sins against you, it will happen, because verse 1 let us know offenses should come. They're going to come from unbelievers. They're going to come from the world. They're going to come from the devil. They're going to come through the TV. They're going to come all kinds of ways. Offenses will come. If your brother does what? Your fellow Christian brother or sister, if they do what? Do wrong. They sinned against you. They were wrong. Show enough wrong. And you got to face the truth. This is not saying just cover your eyes when people do you wrong. It's not saying that. It said you got to face the truth. You know, we just don't, that's part of the problem even now within the family of God. We cover our eyes to things. But it says, if your brother sins against you. Now you have to recognize they did me wrong. They sinned against me. Well, how are you going to handle it? We've all got to deal with it, because we don't want to be cast into that sea. So we have to deal with sin when it comes to us through another, especially from a fellow believer that has indeed did you wrong. And we know they did us wrong. A lot of times they know they did us wrong, but not always. Sometimes people did do us wrong, and we're perceiving a wrong that really wasn't a wrong. But this is a show enough wrong. They did do you wrong. Okay, that's what it says. If your brother sins against you, step number one. And first you have to recognize that they did sin against you. They sinned against you. That's a big word, that word. They sinned against you. You know, that's that. Yes, they did me wrong. So you have to acknowledge it yourself. That's not, that for us ain't hard to do. Now, the next part, it says here, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, that's personal now. It's personal responsibility. We're not talking about your family and all these other folks. This is personal responsibility. They sinned against you. First thing, rebuke him. And not rebuke him. That's part of the scripture we read in 2 Timothy. Reprove. God's word reproves and corrects. Well, it tells us here, rebuke him. Tell him about it. Now, as a whole in the church, we fall way short of doing these things. And this is part of Christian discipline. This is part of keeping harmony in the body of Christ. This is part of loving one another. This is part of us learning how to get along with one another. But so many times, what happens? It is not brought to the light, a sin or an offense. And then that's like what? That's like a poison in the body of God. We need to deal with sin even in the body of Christ. We cover up too much, act like nothing's happening. Or if we say something is happening, we blame it on someone else. And that spreads it. That infects the body. So if your brother sins against you, first thing we need to do, tell him about it. Rebuke him. Now you have to, how do you do that? Well, the goal is what? What is the goal? The goal is what? Seeking harmony, seeking peace within the body. The goal is not to do what? I'm going to tell him what he did to me or what she did to me. I'm going to tell him. Well, yeah, you're supposed to tell him. That's what scripture says. But we have to do what? Look to ourselves. That means what? Watch your spirit. What's your attitude? Why do you want to tell them? Well, we're seeking peace among the body. That's the thing, is that the body might be healed. A sin has entered into the body. A poison has entered into the body of Christ. And so we're out to do what? Because the scripture says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And that's so many things have been covered up by sin and go on and on and on. Like nothing has happened, like nothing, and something has happened. And that breeds a bitterness, and all kinds of things. If your brother, take heed, verse 3, take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, tell him, go to him in the right spirit. Now, we can't go to him cussing him out and being, you know, hands on hips and all that stuff. You have to go humbly, and you have to go in truth, and you have to go with the right objective to get to seek harmony. We're down to our last 5 minutes. And if he repents, if he says, I'm sorry, I didn't know I did it, I didn't mean to do it, all those things. Now, he may not do that right away, and he may do it right away, but at least you did your part, seeking peace, seeking harmony, seeking to heal the body. If he repents, if he said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that, I didn't know I did that, I needed to pray about it, and God showed me, you know, God has to show us ourselves. He has to show us ourselves. And if he repents, that's that sorry, being sorry, then our responsibility, you know, that's that going back and forth. They have a responsibility to tell you. We have a responsibility to do what? We have a responsibility. They have a responsibility to tell us. Then if he repents, that responsibility is back on that person. Then our responsibility is to forgive him. Forgive him. And what does forgiveness do? It releases a person. It releases a person. That's what it is. It frees that person from that sin. Frees them. That's forgiveness. That's they repented and you forgive them. Now you notice she says in verse 3, if your brother sins against you, well, we don't have no problem with saying, yeah, they did me wrong. Rebuke him. Well, sometimes we don't do that. We fall short a lot of times of doing that. If he repents, and a lot of times it doesn't happen, but if he does repent, forgive him. Release him from that debt. But then you may say, well, he didn't come back and say, I'm sorry. So do I have to say, I forgive you? Well, verse 4 goes on to say, yeah, because the responsibility, we still have personal responsibility. So verse 4 says, and if he sins against you seven times, that number of completion, if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day comes back to you, returns to you, and saying, I repent. You shall, even when people do the same thing over and over again, y'all, this isn't an easy word. You know, we've lived long enough to know this ain't easy, but it's the word of God that he requires us to do. Free people from sin. Free them. They did you wrong, but we have to free them. Release them from that debt and let God take care of it. And so it goes on to say, verse 4, and if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you, saying, I repent, you shall, well, did it say you might? You might? No, it says you shall. Well, I need to think about it. Well, you might need to think about it, but we need to hurry up and get to that. You shall release him, forgive him from that debt. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. We thank you for so how many times you have forgiven us over and over again. We ask you to teach us and show us where we need to release others, Lord God, where we've offended others, Lord God, anything that may be hidden within us. And then, Lord God, we may be okay. We may be walking according to how you're having us to walk. So we don't want to take on any guilt or condemnation that we don't deserve. Mm-hmm. So we ask you now, Lord, to lead us and guide us in truth. Be with us this week and keep us in your care until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you all. Bless you, bless you, bless you.
Amen.
Amen. Next week, we'll be going on to verses 5 and 6, and maybe even further, Lord willing. Amen.
Awesome.
Amen. Amen.
Awesome. Enjoyed it.
God bless everyone. Love you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, very good review.
God bless you. Thank you.
Bless you. God bless you.
Bless you all.
God bless
you. You too, and Sister Sadie.
Have a good week.
You too.
All right, ladies.
Everyone. Hope to see y'all next week.
We'll be here. Amen. Lord willing.
Lord willing. Same time.
Bless you, Velma. This is Michelle.
Yeah, I recognize your voice.
Bless you.
Plus your box lit up. A little light was shining.
Okay, Miss
Jonice.
Okay.
All right, it's good to see you, everybody.
And
that was good to see you.
Yeah, Darren and Wendell. Regina Mitchell's name.
Regina Mitchell, where is she at?
Right over here.
Thank you.
Is she there? Oh, yeah, I see your name. Hi, Sister Regina Mitchell and everyone else. You all have a good week.
You too.
Have a good week. See you in April. Oh, yeah. Yeah, time's going to push us into April. Amen.
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 Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
God be with you.
Till we meet again.
Till we meet again.
Amen.